Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus was a hero. He was a rock star. He was being chanted as their king. Look with me at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start reading at verse 36. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens. This was an excitement. He was their king. What happened? What happened between Sunday and Wednesday? What happened? His love was beyond measure. And what they were focused on was the show. Turn with me as we finish Galatians today with this focus on this love that is beyond measure. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." You see, his purpose for coming was because he loved you. That was it. He loved you. And what he wants from us is to show that same love. Dave Simmons, in his book on being a dad, talks about the parallels between God's love for us and understanding that as a parent. And he tells the story of when his kids were young, back in the 70s. They went to the mall on a Saturday morning. And when they pulled into the parking lot, there was this big truck, 18-wheeler, on the side of it said, petting zoo. And I remember this when I was a kid. They would show up at the mall, they would set up these fences, make this big circle, and they would have all these different kind of animals. And you could turn your small animal in to pet their small animals, and you could go shop while your kids were petting the animals, and they would watch them. It's a different time. Some of you can't fathom that. You would turn them in. The kids got all excited when they saw it. They said, "Dad, can we go to the petting zoo?" And he said yes. He gave them each a quarter to get in. And he made his way into Sears. Yes, Sears. He felt this sense of relief of this moment where I can just shop in the tool section and not worry about the kids because they're having a great time at the petting zoo. He said, "I made it down the first aisle and I realized somebody was with me." And he said, "I turned around and there's my 8-year-old daughter. And I was confused at why she wasn't at the petting zoo with her 5-year-old brother." And he said, "For a moment I thought maybe she just wants to be with me. And then I thought better of that." And so I bent down and I asked her, I said, "Why are you here?" And he said, "Well," she said, "Well, the petting zoo costs 50 cents. So I gave my quarter to my brother so he could go." And he said, then she repeated something that made my heart sing. And it was our family motto. And that is, love is action. And I can't tell you, he said, I can't tell you how proud I was at that moment that she had sacrificed so her brother could experience. She had loved him. He said, what I did next is probably would surprise you. He said, but I finished my shopping. And then we went out and stood outside of the petting zoo, and she grabbed the rail and she's looking in with great anticipation, because of the two, she was the animal lover. And you could tell how much she wanted to be there. And he said, I had 50 cents burning a hole in my pocket. But she never asked, and I never gave it to her. Because it was an opportunity for her to learn something incredibly valuable. He said, she had repeated to me our family motto, but left out something. Our family motto is, love is sacrificial action. To love somebody, it costs you something. If you are going to truly love somebody, one of the most overused words in our society today, love is an action that costs, and it's expensive. Love is making a deposit into somebody else's account at your expense. That's what Jesus was doing for us. And as we go into Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help this person back on the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptations yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Look at verse 3. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Love is sacrificial action. And what Paul said to us in Galatians 5, and he carries throughout Galatians 6, is that our focus is to be on each other. And he's talking about loving people. When you see somebody off their path, the immediate thing to do is to point the finger and go, look how they failed. Look what they did wrong. And Paul says, gently and humbly help them. What does that mean? That's love. That is not bringing focus on yourself. Because here's one thing that I've learned. You know why we look down on people? You know why we look down on people? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Oh, I couldn't do that. I would never do that. I would never wear that. I would never say that. Makes me feel better because I wouldn't do that. Paul says, if you think you're too important, you're not. You're just like them. It reminds me of this story I read about God giving this unbelievable gift to this man. It was the gift to love. And he was so proud of it. He carried it around like a jewel. He protected it. He watched over it. He knew the value of it. This jewel that he had been given by God to love other people. Occasionally he would show it to people. He would let them touch it. But then he realized they weren't always appreciative of it. And they even got it dirty. And so he decided to build a box and put it in there. And on occasion he would show it to people, but they would try to break the box. And so he built a bigger box. And he showed it even less. He only showed it to people he thought had earned it. And then, as he grew older, he rarely ever showed it at all. He had protected it so that no one could get it dirty or harm it or hurt it, this gift to love other people. And so he tucked it away. When he passed away, he shows up before God with this box, with a smile on his face of, look how I have protected the gift you gave me. As he opened the box, he found that there was nothing but dust. Because the gift that he had given by God to love other people is only good if you're using it. And God sadly walked away from him because he had missed the entire point. Look at Galatians 7. Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Verse 9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Verse 10, therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the faith. Now, there's some important things in this passage. Paul is telling us, you are going to reap what you harvest. You ever planted something in the garden and got something else? You ever planted a tomato seed and ended up with a watermelon? You ever planted a cherry tree and ended up with apples? Whatever you put in is what you get out. And Paul is telling us, you're going to reap what you sow. But there's something really special here, and it's a reminder so important to all of us. Look at verse 9. Because this will get on you and wear you out. Verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. Why would we get tired of doing what's good? So often, you cannot see the benefit. You plant, and you have to wait. About 2.5 weeks ago, I put the tiniest little seed in some dirt to start a tomato plant. Now, they're about this high now. And Misty said the other day, it looks like nothing else is happening. They're stagnant. I said, you know what's happening? It's below the soil. The roots are growing. We want to see it on top. We want to see it on the surface. But Paul says, don't get tired of doing good because you will reap the benefit. Look what he says. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. This, I read about this Spanish philosopher who was in his hometown of Savago, Italy, there was a Roman aqueduct that was built in 109 A.D. And for 1,800 years, it carried water from the mountains into the city without fail. 1,800 years. Almost 60 generations of people had experienced the blessing of having this fresh water run out of the mountain. You ever had mountain spring water? There's nothing better. The next generation came along and decided that this aqueduct needed to be preserved as a museum, as honoring the hundreds of years that it had served. So they decided to put in modern pipes to carry the water into the city and relieve this aqueduct of its 1,800 years of service. And so they switched over to the modern pipes. And you know what happened to the aqueduct? It started to fall apart. The sun baking down on this 1,800-year-old mortar began to fall apart. And its sections of it began to collapse. Because you see, it was the water, the service flowing through it, that preserved it. And when it stopped serving, it started to collapse. It's the same thing that happened to you and I. When we get tired of doing good, we lose sight of why we're doing good. Look at verse 11. This is one of the most unique verses in all of Scripture. Verse 11. Is it in all caps in your Bible? I hope so. It's not. It should be. Verse 11. Notice what large letters I use to write these closing words in my own handwriting. He's writing in all caps, Paul. Big letters. Don't miss this. I'm closing this letter, but I want you to remember this. This is the John Hancock. You know why you say that? You know that story? I want your John Hancock on something. He wrote it large, so large, larger than everybody else's, because he knew the king needed readers. Okay? And he wanted to make sure the king didn't need his glasses to see his signature. Paul is writing here, don't miss this. Okay, don't miss this. Verse 12. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised, and we're back to that, remember, that's the issue that Paul is dealing with. Don't let that sidetrack you from thinking this doesn't apply to us. Okay? This is the idea that if anybody is trying to get you to do anything other than the Word of God, they're wrong. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They want to look good. I've been to church with those people before. They want to look good. They don't want to be... They want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save you. Period. Nothing else. Verse 13. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. And this is true. Okay? Even today, when people start focusing on what you're doing wrong, there's a thousand things that they are, but they're not focused on it. Remember the old thing your mom taught you? When you're pointing a finger, What? There's three of them pointing back. Verse 13. And those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. They want to be able to go, look what I did. This is in contrary to what Paul said earlier. When you see somebody who's having issues, who's off track, who may not be acting like a Christian, gently and humbly help them. That's out of love. This is not out of love. Verse 14, as for me, I never boast about doing anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the cross, my interest in this world would be crucified, and the world's interest in me has died. And look at verse 15. It doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. It counts is whether you have been transformed into a new creature. God's unconditional love saved us. And what matters after that is only that we serve Him. Nothing else. That we love Him. What did He say? The whole law, everything can be served up into love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and love each other. Franklin Roosevelt had an advisor. He didn't hold an office. He didn't have a cabinet position. He didn't have an official title. And he was a very awkward man, hard to get to know. His personality was very weird, they would say, to the point where people considered him to be a liability. He was just a weird man. And they couldn't understand who he was and what he was doing. And one day, Franklin Roosevelt's chief rival came in to see him. And as they were talking, one of the things that came up was this man. And he told him, he said, you need to get rid of him. And Roosevelt said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about being president of the United States, because you may be one day. He said, everybody that walks through that door, you know ahead of time, they want something. They want something. And he said, rarely ever do you find an individual like this man who all he wants to do is serve. He's my trusted, most trusted advisor because he has never asked me for anything and he's always offered to serve. The world doesn't know what to do with that. We should be that odd and weird. Bow your heads. As we finish this book of Galatians, I wonder, as we look through it, that we recognize that what Paul's overlapping theme throughout it was that none of the outwardly appearances matter. The only thing that matters is what's in our heart. That as he closed this book, he said, the only thing that matters is that you've been transformed into a new creature. The only way to do that is accept Christ. And then when you've accepted Him, the only thing that matters is that you are focused on what He wants and loving others. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. The praise team's going to come.